Well, today I think I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the moose research that we've been doing in Grand Portage since 2009. I've talked about this a number of different times over the past few years, but I think we're at a point now where we have a really decent understanding of what's going on with moose. I guess the first part of our study was looking at habitats that moose use on reservation lands. And our goal was to identify what types of habitats moose are using under a warming climate regime. What we have found is really interesting. In 6 years of doing this, we've learned that moose are only using about 35% of the available land area in the Grand Portage Reservation, but they're using very specific habitat types. And the nice thing about this is we have a forestry program and a forestry department that also helps to manage our forest lands on the reservation. And so I can work with our forestry department to try to help to develop those types of habitats in greater quantities so that we can actually have more of the reservation land base available for moose to use. One of the other things that we've been working on a lot is understanding what's happening with the moose population in terms of the decline. And what we've learned is that our adult moose, rather than being hunted, are actually dying as a result of a lot of health issues. From 2009 until present, about 40% of our collared moose have died as a result of a severe brainworm infection. And brainworm is a parasite that's native to deer. It's not native to moose. And so moose are getting brainworm from high deer densities in this area. Another major factor that we've seen with our moose is winter ticks. And because we've had declining snow cover in early spring, our tick populations have been quite high for a number of years. So about 20% of our collared moose have died as a result of heavy tick load. It makes them become anemic. They end up rubbing a lot of their hair off, and they can actually become hypothermic when it's cold out. So, you know, right there, that's 60% of our mortality is two parasites, brainworm and winter ticks. Another 20% of our adult moose died as a result of a combination of different health issues, including ticks, including brainworm, including liver flukes, a few other parasites, and some disease issues. So essentially, 80% of our collared moose have died from health issues. The remaining 20% of mortality happened as a result of predation and some other causes of death like trauma. On the flip side, we've been collaring moose calves each year, and what we've learned from our calf collaring work is that they're really susceptible to predation. In our first year of doing the study, 100% of our collared calves were preyed upon by either wolf or bear, and in the second year, we lost about 70% of our collared calves to predation within the first 2 weeks of life. So when you have high adult mortality because of health issues and high calf mortality because of predation, those two factors combined are the drivers of moose population decline.
And what are your thoughts about the future of the moose population?
Well, you know, my background's in wildlife and natural resources management. So I think there are a lot of things that we can do. I think that we can manage our habitats to produce better quality habitat for moose. That's one factor. I think that there are things that we can do to help to control parasites like brainworm and liver flukes. We can do that by making sure that we have a reasonable enough deer harvest that our deer populations either stabilize or stop growing. We could begin to consider doing better predator control so that the calves could survive through their first growing season. We could do this by slightly increasing bear harvest in the fall or slightly increasing wolf hunting and trapping. You know, it doesn't take decimating the populations of predators to be able to have a measurable effect. And so those are just different management options that are out there, you know, and we can explore those and see what both our leadership and our public want to do. But there are some options to try to change the trajectory of the moose population.
Now, we've heard a lot about the effect of brainworm on moose mortality. Can you tell us more about what brainworm is?
Yeah, a brainworm is a worm that actually lives in the brain cavity of deer. That's the native host for the brainworm. It lays its eggs in the deer's brain, and eventually they make it down into its intestinal tract. The eggs are passed in the deer's feces, and ultimately the feces get consumed by snails and slugs. inside the snails and slugs, the brainworm hatch into larvae, and the life cycle is completed when a deer or a moose inadvertently consumes these land snails and slugs while they're feeding. The larva finishes its growth in the intestinal tract of the deer or the moose and then migrates into the brain cavity to try to reproduce. What happens in deer is it completes its life cycle, it finds the appropriate habitat, which is a deer's brain, and that's where it lays its eggs. In a moose, on the other hand, it searches around for the appropriate habitat, which is actually a deer brain, and in its searching around, it causes neurological damage to the moose, to the point that the moose often tilt their heads, they end up walking in circles, they get what's been called casually the blind staggers, and ultimately end up not able to feed and are more susceptible to predation or starvation.
So the brainworm doesn't have the same impact on deer health and mortality that it does on moose?
That's exactly right. The brainworm doesn't affect deer at all. It doesn't affect their lifestyle. It doesn't have any impact. In fact, in the Midwest, about 90% of deer are positive for brainworm and have populations in their bodies. It's just a natural parasite to deer. Caribou are actually affected even worse than moose. Elk may be a little bit less of an impact than moose, but deer are really the correct host for that species.
In the past, were moose populations in such a similar decline as this?
That's a really good question. You know, one of the questions I get is are we in a dip of a long-term population cycle? And is this a naturally occurring phenomenon? And unfortunately, wildlife science hasn't been established for long enough to see enough trends in that cycle to be able to detect that. You know, it'd take hundreds and hundreds of years of data to be able to establish if there's a long-running cycle of peaks and valleys. And I guess I'll close today. I have a piece of trivia to share from my kids. This one actually came from my son, Cade. I learned last night that in a square mile of land, there are more insects than the entire population of humans on the planet. I thought that was pretty interesting, worthy of sharing.